Bruce Van Dyke, I challenge you to remember these words. Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight. And you'll discover why this is relevant to yesterday's Browns game in moments.
Okay. Having you say those things to me kind of creeps me out this morning, but I'll go with it. Here we go. Do the Cleveland Browns give us headaches or get headaches, I guess is the way to go.
Or something more.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram joins us this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, okay.
Scott, tell us a little bit about this cryptic tweet that you retweeted this morning or overnight.
Yeah, it was Kenny Britt. And, you know, I think why it might be relevant is because, you know, the guy signed a four-year, $32 million deal, $17 million guaranteed. And he's got two catches for 15 yards in two games. Has not been very cooperative or friendly in the locker room with reporters, and then goes home and tweets that, which just seems to, I don't know, if you're a Browns fan and you're upset that you're 0-2 and lost to Pittsburgh and Baltimore, I don't know if that's what you want your one of your starting receivers to be tweeting after the game.
Is he falling into the same pattern of our other high-priced receiver whose name I can't remember that we picked up, had last year, that did absolutely nothing for us either?
Well, I mean, it was Dwayne Bowe, and it was a couple of years ago. And, yeah, the difference is Dwayne Bowe was not nearly his high price. You know, it was almost like a flyer on him, see if he had anything left in his career. Kenny Britt's only 28. It's a lot of money that they're paying him. He's coming off a 1,000-yard season. And, you know, it's probably too early to give up on him. But Hugh Jackson is shaking his head. I think he doesn't know exactly how he's supposed to handle the situation. And with Corey Coleman possibly having a broken hand, you need somebody to step up at what was already a questionable receiving core. And now it's Kenny Britt will probably get the chance. I just don't know if, you know, he cares enough to play his best or has the talent left to play his best. It'll be interesting because the Browns need somebody at that position.
Why would that happen so early in the season? We're only in week number two. How long has this sort of attitude been developing then?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mystery. It could be because he knows he's going to get paid $17 million regardless. It could be just a slow start. You know, and I hate to overreact, but it's not just two games. He also had a bad preseason where he didn't get his feet down in the end zone for one play that would have been a touchdown. He dropped the ball inside the red zone. He couldn't get off the line of scrimmage against a couple corners in one-on-one coverage. So he just hasn't shown anything since he's been here. And he's still in good shape, and he's still a big guy, and I think he runs still pretty well. So it's kind of a mystery, and you just wonder, you know, you hate to blow things out of proportion too early, but it's trending in the wrong direction, and they need to figure it out in a hurry. And you know it's serious because Hugh Jackson last week after one game talked about, you know, he was thinking about benching him from the starting lineup. And if you're already there after one game, there's a problem.
Yesterday we saw two quarterbacks. We get the points with Hogan. What makes us decide go back to Kizer? Was there just obviously because he's the named starter? Or
yeah, I mean he's a starting quarterback. He won the competition. It's not like Kevin Hogan has had a lot of success in this league. He's never started a game. So and he threw a terrible interception too. I get why people would say, hey, maybe you go with the quote unquote kind of hot hand, even though it wasn't like it was
hot,
red hot. But you made the decision to go to Deshaun Kizer. He's your quarterback. You think he's got a chance to be your future. If he's healthy and standing on the sideline, you play him. And I didn't have any problem with Jackson going back to Deshaun Kizer. I had a problem with how Deshaun Kizer played, but I didn't have any problem with the decision.
Scott, on the other side of the ball, some comments made by some of your colleagues sort of indicated that Jabril Peppers, as part of the defensive scheme, was playing way off the line of scrimmage, almost making it like an 11-on-10 kind of game. Your thoughts on that? Did you see it that way?
Well, yeah, I mean, he definitely was, but he also did that against Pittsburgh. And coordinator Greg Williams would tell you he does that so the other team throws the ball short and doesn't beat you over the top for, you know, a 60 or 70 yard touchdown. You make him go eight plays and dink and dunk you down the field. The issue yesterday with the defense, I don't think it was I don't think the problems were because Jabril Peppers was 25 yards downfield. It was because the rest of the defense fell for the play action and went to the right, and Joe Flacco turns to the left, and the tight end's wide open. Jabril Peppers wouldn't have been able to stop that play if he were 15 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Now, maybe he makes a tackle sooner, but I don't think that changes the game. At some point, Greg Williams is going to have to adjust if teams try to find those soft spots underneath in the zone. And we saw a little bit of that from Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But Pittsburgh, nobody was complaining because Pittsburgh only scored 2 offensive touchdowns. So I think we're making a little bit too much of that. Yes, Jabril Peppers probably needs to get closer to the line against most opponents. But Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger with Pittsburgh and Joe Flacco with Baltimore have big arms. They have wide receivers that can get down the field for the 70 and 80-yard touchdowns. So I'm going to trust Greg Williams on that one. And I think the defensive flaws yesterday had more to do with other issues than Jabril Peppers playing too deep.
Talking to Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram. You can also find him at Scott Petrick on Twitter and his brownzone.com. Earlier we were talking about Kenny Britt. It seems that Rashard Higgins, has more of the spark or the fire to be out there to catch the balls, and he kind of showed up yesterday.
He's an interesting case. He was a fifth-round pick in 2016, did nothing as a rookie. When everybody thought he was the most pro-ready rookie of the 4 receivers they drafted that year, didn't do anything. He's not the most physically gifted receiver in the NFL. They wind up cutting him right before the week 1, sign him to the practice squad, then bring him off the practice squad Saturday, and then he plays Sunday, and he leads the team with 7 catches for 95 yards. He's got some moxie to him. He's never going to run by you. He's not the biggest guy, so I'm not sure how long he can sustain it. I don't think he's a starter in this league. But at a position where Corey Coleman's hurt, we already talked about Kenny Britt, and then there's a bunch of other question marks, it was nice to see somebody make plays, and he's going to get a chance to keep making them because they just don't have anybody.
Let's talk about DeShone Kizer. This migraine, I mean, that's the official report of what was bothering him that they took about, and then he was able to come back in?
Yeah, he said they're hereditary. It didn't happen from a hit in the game. He said the last time one cropped up during a game was in high school when he was at Toledo Central Catholic. He's got some medication that he takes. They checked him for a concussion, and that's where it's a little fuzzy because you're having headaches during a football game. You're taking hits. How do you tell if it's a migraine or if it's a concussion? But the medical staff looked at him. It seemed like they were really careful. I'm seeing them talk on the sideline. They walked in and out of the locker room with him. They never left him. So they determined that it was the migraine, and he was able to go back in the game. You just wonder, how often is it going to creep up? Is it just a one-time thing? How did it affect his play when he came in? He said he was fine when he came back in, and that had nothing to do with it. But it was something that came out of nowhere, and I think it caught the entire Browns team off guard. Kevin Hogan, who went in for him, said, what was going on? All of a sudden, he was told you're going in, and he tried to throw a couple passes and get out there.
Well, we're up in Indianapolis is our next opponent. We knew that these first 2 games were going to be kind of tough. What do we look forward in the next 3 games, I guess, with the Bengals and the Jets in our sight?
That's the thing. I think all of a sudden there's some pressure on these next 3 games. Because as of last night, the Browns were a small favorite going to Indianapolis, who's also 0-2. Cincinnati's 0-2. The Jets are 0-2 and believed to be the worst team in the league. So it feels like the Browns could win all 3. Maybe they should win 2. So what if they're not 2-3 after the season stretch? What if they're 1-4 or, God forbid, 0-5? Then I think you'll see the pressure on Hugh Jackson increase tremendously. So this next three game stretch is critical for this season and the long term. You just want things to settle down. You want to see development, and you need to see some wins after that 1-15 season. And here's your chance. And then the last part of that is you need to see your rookie quarterback make strides. And he took a step back yesterday, which is probably natural against a defense like Baltimore. But coming up, he's going to have a chance to play better and to lead his team to wins, and they have to do it.
Of course, it seems to me that on occasions his ball has too much zip on it for the receivers on occasion, or he puts it in a place where they're forced to stretch and makes them miraculous to catch, and then in case you end up with a sort of an injury like you did yesterday. But I guess that's all part of the growing process for him.
Yeah, the zip doesn't bother me too much. I know what you're saying, that sometimes you need some touch, but I think I've seen him show enough touch. What bothers me with him, and I think is going to be, to me, the only question mark I have, whether or not he turns out to be a legitimate quarterback in this league, is the consistent accuracy. And when he misses Duke Johnson for the first interception, it tips off his hands, and then he throws 4 yards behind Higgins in the end zone for a huge interception when they could have gotten back in the game. That kind of accuracy or inaccuracy, you can't do that in the NFL. You know, that's how you lose games. So he's going to have to figure that out. And to me, that's the biggest question surrounding Deshaun Kizer's future.
All right. Again, Indianapolis, our next opponent. We'll talk again next Monday. Scott, appreciate your time today.
Thanks, guys.